Welcome back to Dime Comic Bros Podcast.
Dime Comic Bros.
Dime Comic Bros. Colin's not here.
Yeah. He's probably pooping right now. If I could...
No, actually, he's playing Elden Ring with his dad.
If I could peer through a time vortex...
You would watch Colin every time he poops?
I was gonna say, if I put the other end of the tube at his house, like, if I crawled through the plumbing from here to his place, right now, if I just came shooting out of the toilet, I would go directly up his asshole, is all I'm saying. Like, right now, he's definitely pooping.
Worth it.
Yes.
Why buy a comic that might cost more than a dime? Come meet the brothers who are here to waste your time.
We're talking about The Punisher from 2004.
It's not as much of a poop from the butt as the last one was.
What's the last one?
The one from 89?
Oh, the Dolph Lundgren one.
Yeah, the one where he has the skull on a knife, because that's cool.
Yep.
That movie was, like, the most, like, it just was there. No sauce.
This one is also there, but it's got some sauce.
It's got a little bit of sauce. So the major differences, I guess, between... Whoa.
What do you think the story was, Mason?
Wow. Just steal somebody else's bit.
Yes.
Which is funny, because if Colin was here, that's he would be doing it.
Yes, exactly. We would hold a gun to his head. Stretch those brain muscles. You know how wrinkly your brain is? Make it smooth. Let's go.
Hold on. Frank Castle is a fed. He's a fed boy. He does a thing and gets a mob guy's son killed, and then they kill his family on a vacation, and then he kills all the guys.
He does kill all the guys. He kills most of the guys.
He does leave a couple of the guys to not be dead.
The guy harassing the thirsty neighbor lady, he doesn't kill.
Which was surprising.
He is.
I figure he would be killed.
And then there's an informant that he tortures with a popsicle.
That was...
By shoving it up his ass.
Not quite, but sure.
But doesn't kill him.
That sequence was pretty funny. I thought that was kind of neat. Like, it's so dumb, and, like...
There's no reason for him to not kill him?
No, yeah.
But also, it's really funny.
Like, yeah, I don't see a reason why he wouldn't just torture him.
Right.
It, like, character-wise, but it is
but
very
funny.
But
it's a funny enough gag that I'm willing to overlook it.
Yeah. Yes.
Tonal shift.
Yeah. It's really all over the place. Like,
You should cover it.
Sure. Just throw that at me. It's like every other sequence in this movie is taking itself fairly seriously, like a typical turn-of-the-millennia action movie, and then the other half, it's got, like, moderate amounts of slapstick,
mm-hmm.
and, like, Biff Pang Wow. It's kind of weird, because, like,
strange.
I just, it's just odd. Like, there's a lot of, like, visual choices made, either the way that stuff is shot or, like... costuming where it's like this is goofy, and then there's other moments where it's like, oh, he's actually gonna torture that guy, and then they undercut it by being like, ha, lamau popsicle. Like, up until the popsicle, I thought that was actually a pretty solid sequence. I was
yeah.
like, oh, I can believe that this guy's a fucking nut job. And then the popsicle bit was very funny, but like, it just doesn't really want to pick a tone. Like, there's a decent amount of blood for it's like a light R rating, like it's not
extremely.
Crazy. There's enough. They swear enough. You know, like, it's there. They do rip a guy's piercings out. That was kind of gross. But, like, it's just weird. Like, it just feels very tonally inconsistent.
I think they were scared to show Punisher as the bad guy. They're like, no, he's a hero, so we're gonna make him a hero. But he does these weird messed up things, but it's against the bad guys. And you gotta know that it's against the bad guys, because he's a good guy.
That's
what this movie feels like.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. I can definitely, yeah. I think that despite that, it takes a while to get going. The opening 20 minutes are pretty slow. The stuff with his family is very unconvincing, let's say.
Yes.
Very unengaging.
But they had sex on the beach, probably.
I mean, yeah.
He loved his wife because he banged her into sand.
That's true.
It's true love.
It takes a lot of patience for that. A lot of patience and careful planning, you know? Yeah, it just... once it got going, it certainly was better. It just, the opening 20 minutes was like, you're not really selling me much on the, like, he's a good old American boy with his family. And then, like, once he actually starts doing shit, I'm like, oh, this is cool. Like, I think when the rare times that there's any material for the actor to work with, he's actually pretty good. Yes. And he, I think, judging on the amount of times I could see, like, his fingernails were bruised during, like, random shots, I think he did the vast majority of his stunts. I have a feeling Google will back me up on that. Like, so that's cool. He's also yoked the fuck out. Yep. Looks great. Like, he's got the presence down. It's just sometimes the script is like, and now you're gonna tell a joke. And he just does it begrudgingly, you know? Which is kind of weird.
It was also, I'm guessing here, an educated guess. It was also in that weird time of, like, Garth Ennis was writing Punisher for Marvel Knights, and he had probably just started that Marvel Max run that really kicked off the Punisher stuff. Like, really, really, really kicked it off.
Yeah.
But it's like, I was talking through the movie, the Marvel Knights stuff still had that huge tonal shift problem of, like, sometimes he shoots a guy in the face, sometimes he does the popsicle gag, and it's like, it's very inconsistent and weird, and it was to Ennis's liking, and it was just strange.
You're correct, because the publication date of the first issue with Garth Ennis on writing was March 2004.
Yeah.
So by the time this was in the editing room, maybe the comic was out.
Right.
So, like, this is working more on the older source material.
Right. It hadn't even gotten to the Max stuff.
Yeah.
Basically.
And those books were pretty inconsistent from the scant older stuff that I've tried to read.
Yeah. I read the Marvel Knights Garth Ennis Punisher run before. Basically, he wrote so much of that and was like, this needs to be R-rated, and it changed into the Max stuff.
Yeah.
And he stayed on the Punisher. That's how that all worked out. So, knowing just the Marvel Knights side of it and just how it read, it was very inconsistent, like this movie. It was very, very similar.
Yeah. It's odd. It's just weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird in the sense of, like, to compare it to, I in my brain, the next most comparable thing would be Blade from a few years earlier. Also R-rated, also self-serious, but also very funny.
Yes.
It's just odd how, like, you can do both. You don't necessarily have to pick. You can be bloody and gross and adult and whatever and have them have, like, a big vampire orgy with blood in the sprinklers, but also, like, you can say catchphrases. Like, you don't have to pick. You can do both if you try. And this one didn't. It was more like it didn't know which one to pick more than it wanted to do both. It was more like, we should probably put some edge in this, but, like, not too much. And then they kind of kept sliding the credit card in and out of the slot instead of just, like, leaving it in there. The transaction kept declining.
ATMing. Is yes. What the kids call it these days.
Oh, I forgot that that's even a thing. Holy shit.
I know you used to be Mormon.
No, Mormons do soaking.
They do both, actually.
Oh, that's nice.
It's one or the other.
That's nice. I'm glad that you know these sorts of things.
Yes.
Some of the action sequences were pretty solid. There's a lot of cars that go boom. Lots of cars go boom. I like cars go boom.
Especially in the end scene when the Punisher lights up all the cars to make the logo from an overhead shot.
Yes.
Yes.
Goated.
Do you think John Travolta had enough to work with?
No.
Or is just a poor actor?
Also that. It's definitely both. I don't think that character had jack shit to do, but if you were, hypothetically, if you had a good, like, set environment and a good director who was willing to work with you, you as the actor have the authority to give a personality to a character. Like, there's a bunch of characters in a billion movies that had no real personality in the script, but the actor breathed a shit ton of life into them. So if you have the talent and you're in an environment conducive to that, it can be done. But no, I don't think that John Travolta is A, a good actor, or B, had much to work with. The script in general is pretty scant here. It's the bare bones outline of what pretty much any person would know about the Punisher. I wouldn't say back then, but like now.
Yeah.
What anybody would know about the Punisher, and that's about it. Like, the rest of it's just kind of like eyeballing it.
I remember really, really liking War Journal. as a movie.
You mean Warzone?
Whatever.
That's the next one.
Yes.
In a month.
Yes.
Like what? Like 2011?
Mm-hmm.
Weird.
Same actor though. Thomas Jane. I'm pretty sure.
No, it's Ray Stevenson.
What?
I don't know what you're talking about. There is another thing with
the bad Sith that just died?
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I did not know this.
There is another thing with Thomas Jane. It's a YouTube short film that's unofficial that he did. And I haven't seen it because I saw it when it came out. I think it was like 2012. And I was like, that looks neat. I haven't seen that movie, so I don't really care. I do want to watch it sometime soon, though, because I've heard good things. And I think this actor can definitely work really well in the role if given actual material and a direction to go in. It's just like entirely expecting an actor to be self-directed is dumb because that's not how the job works. You do need someone to point you in the correct direction. Like, directing, you know?
I had a thought. Wait for it.
You just don't want to admit that I was right.
Wait for it. It actually came out in 2008.
It's impressive because I feel like the visual difference between this movie and Warzone is a lot stronger of a contrast of, like, I mean, that's when HD kicked in, but, like, versus this and the 89 movie feel almost out of the same era. There's a bit, there's definitely some visual differences. Obviously, they were in different decades, but, like, they do have a very similar low-budget action movie vibe, which isn't entirely a negative, but it's certainly got that
old action movie feel
to it. Yeah, it's got that. It's got, they got the Uzis, you know? They got the airsoft Uzis to go gee, 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 gee. You know? You feel the vibe? I'm thinking, like, ooh, last note. The musical scoring was shit.
Oh, that's what I was going to talk about.
Yeah. I did not like the music at all. It felt very out of place most of the time.
Especially during the opening credits, it was like, what is this? This is stock footage.
Yeah, it was weird.
You have Mystique running around in this movie. And she's not blue. It was like right
she in the middle. She can make me blue in the face.
It was right in the middle of her Mystique career.
Yes. Smash.
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
Yeah. I'm thinking like 4 to 5 out of 10. We're talking like mid of mid.
No, I was going to say 3 out of 5.
Okay. Yeah,
just, yeah.
If someone says, hey, I really want to watch this, I won't scream no, yeah. But, like, I'm like, eh.
It's good as background noise.
Yeah.
While I'm, like, folding laundry or whatever.
That's fair, yeah.
Ooh, wait, there's a good kill here. Yeah, he's dead! All right, what was I folding?
Yes.
It's that kind of movie.
Yeah, that's fair. What the fuck
no.
have you been doing?
No!
Since we've been on a moderate hiatus, kind of, for like one extra week.
I've been reading a lot of stuff, and I haven't finished any of it.
I believe that. You have a very bad habit of reading 15 books at once.
I know.
Because you are dumb.
Yep.
Tell me what the fuck you got. What you been doing?
I'm pulling up my Goodreads.
Pull up faster.
I got it.
Pull up on my nuts.
I read the Star Wars The High Republic Volume 2 : No. Star Wars : The High Republic, comma, Volume 2 : The Heart of Drengir. Drengir.
Drengir.
Drengir. Drengi. Django?
Monkey. What? What?
You follow up Django with monkey.
I was thinking Django Fett, not Django from Django Unchained. Holy shit. Don't try to out-racism me. If I'm being racist, you're gonna know it. Leave it in.
By Kevon Scott and Phil Noto.
Phil.
It was the follow-up to Volume 1. They go and they hunt down the plant that's... They find the rumor weed that is infecting everybody across the planet, and they killed the rumor weed.
That's a way to put it.
That's pretty much it. It was 5 or 6 issues of kill the plant.
Anything stand out about it other than that? Did you like the art? Did you
The art was cool. The ongoing story is fun. It just, I don't know. If you're gonna do a 12-issue story arc, maybe don't have it about killing a plant.
Okay, whatever you say, boss.
Just saying. It was kind of dumb for 12 issues.
That is the weirdest way to put it, but I believe you.
I gave it 3 out of 5 stars. It's fine. I got it on sale for $5.
Okay.
It looks really good for $5.
$5 ain't bad, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Following up on another thing that I talked about last time, when you talked about your thing from last time, I read Doctor Strange and the Sorcerer's Supreme Volume 2 time after time. It is still
Wait. Does Doctor Strange sing the song?
No. He did not. No singing.
That was Cher, right?
I think.
No. It was the freaking...
I don't know any of these old lady singers, okay?
Tina Turner?
I don't fucking know, man. I don't like that type of music. If I'm gonna listen to some chick...
Cindy Lauper! Damn it!
If I'm gonna listen to some chick whisper in my ear over some really lame guitar,
It's not gonna be my mom, shut up!
I was gonna say it would be any indie rock band, but like, whatever. It's still written by Robbie Thompson with art by Javier Rodriguez and Nathan Stockman. They alternated working on different issues. It's issues 7 through 12 of this run, and it's the end of this run. Merlin turned bad last time around, and he is all, I'm gonna become God because science or whatever. He's doing a Layretta atheist moment. He gets a hold of the Word of God in big quotations, and it's basically a manuscript that you'd think, like, your brain would make the association. This is like a page of the Bible or something. No, it is a fucking alien landed on Earth a bajillion years ago and decided it wanted to play God for fun reasons. That's it. It's really weird. So it does this balance between science is magic and magic is science and fuck your religion and whatever. It's very weird and kind of shallow.
Wait. Jed McKay worked on Black Cat?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Like a lot.
You're gonna have to bunk me.
Yeah, I know. I also put that on my to buy list. Yeah.
Bunk. Here I go bunking.
Yes. The group of Sorcerers Supreme end up capturing Newton pretty quickly, and then they fight whatever the fuck it's called. It's a in Immortal Hulk, the Abomination that has like the hand face.
Yes.
It kind of looks like that.
Good shit.
Yes, but it's like a bunch of arms and also has hand face. It's weird. Just the creature, it's an interdimensional alien, whatever the fuck. They fight it a bunch, they get thrown through time and space, they get to see their preferred realities, you know. Oh, if you only join me, you could have this. It's fine. I liked it more than the last volume, a little bit. Some of the art I thought was a bit more well fleshed out. There were more pages, more splash pages and double splash pages of... either really big sequences going on or like multi-phase sequences in a single panel, like stuff like that I really like. I don't really like either of these artists very much. There are some individual character designs that I think are pretty cool and some of them that I think are pretty bad. So it's pretty split. And then at the end, they basically have this really brief, I think it's the last 3 issues or so, they have this like, we have to protect, I don't remember his name, the Ancient One, but when he was a boy. And they're like, because you're going to be the best Sorcerer Supreme ever, we have to make sure that you become a Sorcerer Supreme in your timeline and blah, 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 blah. It's fine. It just feels really... We needed to have an emotional conclusion to this run because we thought it was going to be an ongoing, but we were actually told to wrap it up by issue 12. So it's like the last two or three issues is just, shit, we need an emotional arc for this other than we fight some aliens. Oh yeah, the first issue is nothing but the Avengers. I forgot that was a thing. It was just the Avengers at that time are very relevant. I didn't really love that. It was mostly the Avengers in that issue. It kind of smelled of, we need to boost sales, so we'll put all the big characters in it for one issue.
Yep.
It's okay. It's fine. In retrospect, I think I put the first volume at a 2 out of 5, and this one's a 3 out of 5. You do need the context of the first 6 issues, so you can't really read them separate. Again, why the fuck were they not just collected in one book? 12 issues for a paperback is totally reasonable, so that's dumb. But I do think, on the whole, I enjoyed it more. I bought it for around cover price off of Amazon, so like $15. Drain. I'd say both of these for $15 would be fine. Like, if they were collected in one trade for $15 to $20, I feel like that's a lot more reasonable of a deal. But it's kind of steep on its own.
While we were watching Punisher, a character is killed by getting run over by a train. And I was like, wow, what timing, as a train is going by. And Spencer didn't believe me. It's like, my sound system is not that good. The whole room is shaking right now. And the movie's paused. You goopa.
Train.
I die.
Run a train on your mom. Ow, that really hurt.
Good. I read Moon Knight. Volume 1, The Midnight Mission by Jed McKay.
Oh my gosh, I haven't read this. Oh, tell me.
And Alessandro Capuccio is the illustrator.
Tell me about it.
It's so good. It looks really, really good. I don't know if there's any leftover story from whoever Jed took over for, but Moon Knight is running a mission.
But not like a mission.
No.
But like a mission.
Like a mission.
Yes.
It's like a church mission. Yeah. He's doing the daredevil thing of like, this is my block. Nobody pisses on my block. Nobody pisses on the sidewalk on my block.
It's true. I would never dare. He would tell Dracula to bite my dick off. Where's my money?
Speaking of Dracula, his secretary is a vampire.
That's hot.
And they have a strange relationship that I haven't quite figured out yet. And no. Platonic. But also she stitches him up while she's thirsty, and it's weird.
That's kind of fucking weird, and I like that. That's hot. I'm gay. I'm gay for women.
That's not how that works.
Yes, it is. There's a way to be gay for women. I can show you video evidence of it. I can prove it.
It looks very good. Each issue is kind of like a mini mission of like, kind of like an A-Team episode where they find someone in trouble and they save the person from the trouble and they stop the trouble.
That's cool.
The artwork is so good. It looks so, so good.
That's wicked hot. I do like good artwork.
I like good Moon Knight.
I like Moon Knight.
I like good Moon Knight.
Ah, Dracula, you dumb fuck, where's my money? Random bullshit, go.
I read this with my Marvel membership. I got a year of it for like $60, so I've already got my money's worth.
Jeez, yeah.
Ease.
Damn. Fuck you in the face, you dim dingus.
You would like that, wouldn't you?
No. Mm-hmm. You're not a vampire stitching me up while I'm bleeding.
Or a woman.
That too. I read Ghost Rider Volume 4. Hold on, what's the subtitle?
Good. Nice job. So our patrons.
Ghost Rider Volume 4, Rite of Passage. It is the final trade in the 2022 ongoing by Benjamin Percy with art by... mostly Corey Smith, not entirely Corey Smith, but mostly Corey Smith. I followed this entire run from issue to issue. It's been fucking great. It took a little bit of a dip in the middle during a Wolverine crossover, which was very fun and had fantastic art, but the depth of the run got a little shallow for my liking. This is issues 18 through 21 of this run, and it is the conclusion of the arc for Talia Warroad, who is a character that has been traveling with Ghost Rider on all of his adventures from, like, issue 2. She's fed. she's, like, a spiritual ghost consultant for the FBI. It's very strange. So she...
I love the logo, too. Like, as he's announcing, I'm Moon Knight.
That's some old-school comic shit.
Use the logo. It's great.
Good shit. she's like a... Yeah, she's like a witch doctor or whatever. But she's a fed and hot. And she does what she wants. And she doesn't listen to the man. But also, she's still a fed. So she goes with Johnny Blaze on all his adventures through this run. And over time, we've come to understand some stuff about her backstory. She was imbued with magic at a young age for some reason. She fell into a cult, which is what this arc is primarily about. It's the cult of Mephisto, so it's just diet Satanism, I guess. So when she was younger, she actually killed her parents to try to make a sacrifice or whatever. It's real fucked up. She's done some bad shit. She had a bad ex-boyfriend, you know how it is, who might be Mephisto. It's confusing. And they deal with some repercussions. This is not platonic, by the way. They do indeed be fucking in this run. And in this arc, they do indeed make a weird, like, baby out of clay that they can control and see through its eye. It's weird. They have sex under the moonlight, because of course. And it's, I don't remember the name for it, but it's like a clay pot, basically. It's like a vessel. It's really weird. This arc was fucking awesome. Like I said, this run kind of dipped in the middle, a little bit more bland. But this one came in strong, almost as much of a high point as the first couple of volumes. The art is fantastic. Corey Smith has very rapidly entered my list of, like, people I'm keeping tabs on now. I don't think he does all of the issues, but he does the majority of them. The covers are also fantastic. Those are done by... I don't remember how to say this guy's name. K-A-E-L-N-G-U. They're two words. I have no idea how to pronounce your name, and I'm genuinely not going to try. It'll make it worse. But he does fucking awesome covers. They sold me on this book from the first place, and every single issue is had the best cover I've ever seen in my life. So that's it's great. It ends with Talia basically going to hell, I think, sort of. Spoilers, I guess. And Ghost Rider is all, no, not my new girlfriend! And then Mephisto, like, turns to the reader and is like, I'll be back in 5 minutes for more bullshit. And it's the end of this run, but Benjamin Percy is starting with a new number one in a couple of months. I'm pretty confident I'm going to pick it up, because it's the same writer, so I'm pretty sure they'll be pretty connected. It's really cool. It looks good. It's fun. It's fun occult adventures, but it's not so self-serious where it becomes gross. Like, there's some comics, particularly in the 80s and the 90s, that were so well ingrained in the stuff they were showing, let's say, that it felt a little too close to home. It was kind of weird. Sometimes, Hellstrom, like, just weird, sketchy shit. Which is fine sometimes, but this is still, like, a teen-rated Ghost Rider book. It's pretty gross. There's a lot of blood and guts. There's a lot of naked dead people, but it's not so graphic that it's disturbing, like, on a... It doesn't stick with you that much. It's just really good at showing off the gore of the character, which is cool. The characters are all written really well. They have good rapport, and it's a very small cast, which I think is, like, the linchpin for why it works so well. There's a very small cast of characters, especially as the run goes on. There's less and less characters. So this is issues 18, 19, 20, and 21. I bought them all for $4 a piece, so that's $4, $8, $12, $16, which is the same price as the cover price for this volume. Worth it, I'd say. I gave it like a 4 out of 5. It's real good. This run's been fantastic. I want this entire run to be collected in one paperback because it's going to be... It's 4 paperbacks for the Ghost Rider run, and then the Ghost Rider Wolverine crossover is only like 4 issues, and that's another paperback. Like, the total width is only like this big. It's not too big.
Inch and a half for our listeners.
Yeah, like it's... Like a... Ghost Rider by Daniel Way complete collection. It's chunky, but it's not too big. Like, give it to me now.
When I said that this Moon Knight run was kind of like 18 episodes, I wasn't kidding. I found a picture from the run where he's on the phone. He's like, "Welcome to the Midnight Mission. My name is Mr. Knight. How can I help?" And he's like sitting in a comfy chair under like an idol of Khonshu. And that's how every issue read kind of was, just like, "How can I help you?" And then he beats the bad guy up and saves the good guy.
That's cool. I dig.
It's fun. Fun little adventures.
Khonshu.
That's an old joke.
We're bringing it back.
All right!
I love very old in jokes.
I can't wait for season 2.
Whenever the fuck it happens. It'll happen eventually.
Echo comes out...
next week.
3 days from now?
Yeah.
2 days from now. Tuesday.
Yes. Yeah. They're releasing it a day early, I forgot. So we're going to talk about that in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Maybe
trying to recruit Colin for that. Currently unsuccessful, but we're going to try.
What other shows do we have? Anything?
There's a bunch of Star Wars stuff this year.
Really?
We'll talk about it during happy hour. I'll pull up the list. There's definitely stuff we can cover.
Tell me what happy hour is.
It's where I get shit-faced, throw up on the carpet, yes, and then talk about how much I love She-Hulk and her massive legs. That's a pretty accurate retelling of one that definitely did happen in the past. I promise. If you give us money on Patreon, you can go find that episode. It's pretty far back there, though. We do exclusive segments for our that go on our Patreon for our patrons. After pretty much every single podcast, we do a little happy hour segment. We crack open a beer. We make a cocktail. Whatever. We hang out. We talk shop. We talk shit. It could be comic book stuff. It could be nerd stuff. It could be work. It could be pretty much anything. That's just one of our many perks for our patrons over at patreon.com/DimeComicBrosNetwork. You also get early access to all of our podcasts, early access to a bunch of different news updates, like when we get new sticker designs and stuff like that. You also get the stickers and the bookmarks. You get your name shouted out every episode, like Caitlin and Jeff Lorenz, who I swear are the only people that actually listen to this show, period.
True story.
But they've been here for quite a while now, so that's appreciated. Give us money. If you give us enough money, maybe Colin will come back. Maybe.
Doubt.
We'll see.
Hold X for doubt.
If we... No. What we do is we start collecting from the first month that he was gone, and then we just give him a lump sum when he comes back.
No. We don't pay him. We don't pay Colin.
We can pay him for some services.
Yeah, but nothing Dime Comic Bros related.
We can make it Dime Comic Bros related.
You're pushing the edge. You're edging.
I am edging right now, thinking about She-Hulk. Also, thank you. Jesus Christ, what am I anymore? What have I become? Also, a big thank you to our partners over at Jetpack Comics and Games in downtown Rochester, New Hampshire. Shop local and shop at your local comic shop. They're great people. They will gladly help you find any of the random bullshit you need. And local business is good and stuff. I think it's a good thing. Don't judge my beans, Jacob. Suck my beans.
I fed you beans earlier.
Are lentils beans?
I don't think so. I think they're legumes.
so they're not beans? Were there other beans in that soup? I don't think so. You fed me legumes, not beans, you dumbass.
Yeah, lentils are a legume.
Legwam.
What even is a legume?
I have no fucking idea.
I think it's a fake word.
All words are fake. And why I should be allowed to say slurs.
Did you know that peanuts are legumes?
Yeah. So they grow underground.
And lentils are the same family.
Yes. Goodbye. That's your fun trivia fact for the week. With the way you got up, I thought you were going to fart on the microphone.